Have you ever witnessed, brethren, have you ever witnessed church members not acting like a Christian? Or on the other turn, or flip the coin the other way. Have you ever noticed Christians or church people that are not in the church acting like perfect Christians? They're exemplary. All they just don't know the truth. Well, we have learned last week about the spirit of the law. It's of respect, and it shows what we should be. It's about the right attitude. That means everything. The way we treat each other, the way we treat others in the church, and in our community. The spirit of the law is what we're supposed to be. In my sermonette, we're going to give 7 habits of being an effective Christian. The title of my sermonette is How to Be an Effective Christian. Now, we've heard, I'm pretty sure some of you have heard, and I myself heard in training, Stephen Covey's, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I don't know if he has a book out on that. And some of us have read Mr. Armstrong's 7 Habits of Success. Well, this is kind of in that same connotation. But how to be an effective Christian? Because sometimes, like Ms. Moody, we told us, we have the law, and the hardest part, the weightier part of the law is to be able to execute it. But it has to come from the heart. As Christians, we need to examine ourselves, especially this time of year. Church members, deacons, elders, ministers, and those who are responsible for the overall leadership of the church. We have a standard to measure ourselves. The title of my sermonette holds and includes the word effective. In order to be effective, you need to have performed actions on a repeated basis. In other words, a habit. Studies have shown that if you do something 14 to 21 times, a certain action, 14 or 21 times, on different intervals, it becomes a habit. Observing God's feast days, for instance. That's one example. I know, and it's an action. A definition of a habit is actions that are highly ingrained, that have become natural, and it's because of continuous repetition. All that is physical. How many times have you done something without even thinking? And after it's done, you said, you don't even remember how you did it. I remember lots of times I drive into work like on a Wednesday. Here I am, 6:30 before work. And I said, and I'm trying to figure out how I got there. Because you know how every stoplight, and you're driving down the road and you see a certain person or a certain milk truck that goes through and it's exactly the right time. If you could hit the green light a certain time, you're in it, And it's all clockwork. Before you know it, it becomes Groundhog Day. It's like that movie, Groundhog Day. But this, what I'm talking about, is it's a spiritual, something which comes from within because you want to do it and you do it. There's no driving force. Yes, there's a law, but you're not doing it because of the law. But you're doing it because you want to, because you know it's right. But it comes from the heart. Or better yet, we were explained the kidneys. Remember that in Psalm 7:9, we were quoted last weekend, the reins, the Hebrew word for reins, was kidneys. That's even deeper than the heart, deeper from the soul. It's pretty interesting. Another example of something that repetition and habit includes something that they want to do. Has anybody heard, remember those gentlemen back in the when they were doing the Super Bowl, and they interviewed these six gentlemen that they 50 years ago they bought a Super Bowl ticket within each one of them, and ever since then they've gone to each Super Bowl, all six of them, and it's they interviewed them and say a lot of them are in bad health, and they did their 50th one, and one of them or two of them were, you know, kind of ill, but they did it because they were committed and they wanted to do it. And they made it. That habit is because we have a desire to fulfill that function. People can be a Christian. People can be deacons, ministers, and elders in name and in title, but not effective. We need to produce a fruit if we're going to be effective, if we're going to be one of God's called out ones. So habit number one, I'm going to give you habit number one. Effective Christians read and obey God's word. You've got to have a baseline, we call them management. You've got to have a baseline. You got to have something to go by. Effective Christians are effective because their lives are powered by the Word of God. They know what God says, and that knowledge empowers them. That knowledge empowers them to make right choices in more consistent ways. There we go, repetition again. They resist temptation because they have God's Word in their hearts and in their minds. Where we had heard that before. They are able to stand up for right. That's where it comes from, the soul. Give right advice. Say the right thing at the right time because they know what is right. Let's go to 2 Timothy, brethren. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Follow me. 2 Timothy 3:15. Now here we find Paul. Paul is congratulating Timothy because of his knowledge of the scriptures. He knows the baseline. He knows he knows where he's coming from. He knows what he's, that's where he defines what is right and wrong. Let's go on reading in verse 15. And it says, "And how from infancy," Paul is saying, "you know the Holy Scriptures," he's telling Timothy, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, in King James, it's a little slightly worded different, but we get the gist what Paul was saying, that he was complimenting Tim for what he knew, and he can make effective choices from that. You cannot be an effective Christian if you do not know and obey the Word of God. You cannot know it if you do not read it, period. You don't know it. I mean, how many times have we seen people do what they do, and, you know, you can say, you try to say, well, should I even explain this to this person? And sometimes it's not even worth it because they don't know it. Habit number two. Effective Christians have an active prayer life. We need to have a constant communication with God. God cannot effectively change, shape, and mold us unless we share it with Him in prayer. The men and women that God used, were they not men of word and prayer? For example, King David, Samuel, Ruth, Abraham, Apostle John, even Paul. Paul prayed consistently with him. Let's go to Book of Acts. Book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 13. Now here, we find Lydia. She's a garment seller at a prayer meeting. And Paul finds her there. But he didn't know how committed she was. Acts 16, verse 13. says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. So they were going out to have prayer service or Bible study, what we'd call, next to the river. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us, Paul and his follower, they suspect it was Timothy also, to her home. She said, if you consider me a believer in the Lord and stay in my house. And she persuaded us. Paul is talking to the second person here. That comes from the heart, brother. That's what part of being hospitable, hospitality. Habit number 3. Effective Christians set spiritual goals. You have to have a goal in anything you do, especially if you're a Christian. In business, if you don't plan for success, you're planning to fail. Christianity requires that we set personal spiritual goals and actively work towards them, making the necessary sacrifice to eventually reach them. We do not become more effective as a Christian unless we visualize a realistic goal, strategize a way to achieve it, and commit ourselves to reaching it to a certain time frame. When you play in a sport, they play to win. They don't play to, oh, okay, let's just, you know, whoever wins. No, you play to win. And that's in everything. Everything. You work, do the best you can. There is no compromise and there's no kumbaya thing. You have to, you know, you're there for a goal. And Christianity is the same way. You're here to do your best. But if you don't have a goal, if you don't have, I'm going to pull something out of my repertoire, a maintenance action plan, a map, identifying your spiritual goals and focus on improving it, you've got to have that. Set a timeline. Check your progress. Say to yourself, well, by this time, you know, I should be improved on prayer, or I should be improved on being more compassionate, or should be improved on, you know, set yourself, whatever your shortfalls are. But it has to come from within, like was mentioned, from your kidneys. Habit number 4. Effective Christians encourage others. Team effort. Because we're in it all in it together, brother. When I first came to the church, I heard a lot of things that we can't do. Can't do this, can't do that. But I read the scriptures that used a lot of things that kind of contradicted it. I'm glad I stuck to the scriptures. But it has to come from an individual. And my part was a mentor came and took me aside and showed me the right way. And now I know which direction we're supposed to go, our goal. And I found out there's too many good things. There's too many things we should be doing than that we can't be doing or we shouldn't be doing. Let's go to Proverbs 27:17, brother. Proverbs 27. And this is what we should be doing to each other. Because as I say, we are here together. 27 is a scripture that we're all very familiar with. And it's, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what we should be doing. So one man sharpens another. It doesn't say, and that's with when we're asked for our advice, brother, when we are asked for advice, we should be sharpening that person's, you know, because we never know. He or she might be asking more questions from us. This is basic stuff. Notice it doesn't drill down to any specific person. It just iron man, one man sharpens another. Period. Habit number five. Let's go to habit number five. Effective Christians take responsibility. We don't need to turn there, but on Philippians 2:12 states about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Liam learns to walk and he takes his lumps, but he learns to walk. The same thing with us, brethren. We have to get it, walk on our own spiritual feet. And we take our responsibility. No excuses. We can't blame because, oh, well, because this happened to me or that happened to me. Put that to one side. Put our nose to the grind wheel. We're here all for God's message. Don't let any man stand in your way. Unfortunately, we have witnessed our country's leaders lack this basic fundamental quality. I heard a little bit of Secretary of State dodge questions of Benghazi, and none of it stuck. Everything was, well, so-and-so that worked for me, so-and-so that worked for me, but she was responsible. She's responsible for the embassies, by the way, but nothing stuck to her. And that's what reflected on me. It's nothing like those of us remember Harry Truman, a former president of the United States. He had a sign on his desk that says, the buck stops here, good and bad. He took responsibility, and he meant it. Habit number six, effective Christians serve. You know, we don't put a banner, we don't showboat, we just do it. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow me as I follow Christ. And some, you know, you might have a follow-up question, say, okay, what is Christ doing? Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And we'll see what Christ is doing. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. Here, I'm going to read, it says, even as the Son of Man came not, the operative word not, to be ministered, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So, it totally contradicts what the way people think. To minister, the Bible uses this as a verb, which means to attend to the needs of someone, to take care, look after, treat, to serve. A contrary, again, to the way management style is to lead, direct, assign, delegate, or in the government likes to use this word, strong arm, you know, or impose our will on someone. Then national health care to bring to point. Jesus did not want that. He wants us to have buy-in. They call it, the buzzword is buy-in. We've got to have in. We've got to have it from our kidneys to come in this thing. It takes more than strong-arming or imposing the will. We have to have buy-in. Effective habit number seven. Number seven. Effective Christians remain focused. You don't have to turn to that one because we all know it. Matthew 6:33. And it comes to light more and more. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. No matter the trial or even worse, in some cases, the success. Success is worse our downfall than our trials. Because when we're in trouble, we always turn to God. You know, when we're destitute, we always come to God. But when we're rich and we're well off, it's always easy to. I want you to do me a favor. I try this with my. In a blank part of your notes, put a dot. Just put a dot. And we can say to yourself, okay, that's the kingdom, or that's what my goal is. Okay, and then write across job, J-O-B, right across it. And then write family on the other side, make an X. And then put another word, recreation, on top of that. Now, try to look at that dot again. It's harder, isn't it? So God is telling us to remain focused, because it's so easy to have all this stuff pile on. It's awfully easy to say, oh, yeah, remain focused. Yeah. But all these trials that come on us, it's hard. So I've given you seven encouragements, I'm going to say, not so much laws and, you know. It's first, read your Bible. Basic stuff. Prayer. Number two. Three, you have to have a goal, spiritual goals. Got to have it. Encourage one another. We've got to sharpen each other. You know, lift ourselves up instead of take ourselves down. Take responsibility. If it's our fault, it's our fault. We messed up, we messed up. You know, how many times has somebody come up to us and say, I heard you say something, blah, blah, blah. You say you're a goody two-shoes Christian and you said this. Okay, I did. I'm a human. Just move on, because I'm pretty sure we're all. Six, serve. Seven, focus on the kingdom. Brethren, take the narrow path.